Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we explore your questions to help you make meaningful connections with teenagers, because no teen deserves to feel alone. Have a question you'd like us to address? Email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo. Now, let's jump into this week's question.
How do I interact with teens who believe differently than me? There's a lot of topics where teens might disagree. Politics, religion, even like weed / substance abuse. There's a lot of topics.
If they shouldn't do their homework.
Yes. I think teens are just always looking for ways to get in an argument or disagree with someone. So how do you interact with people who do disagree with you? And there's some important things we want you to keep in mind kind of as we have this conversation, even just some tips that'll kind of hopefully guide this conversation. So practice active listening. Listen without judgment and ask questions. This is important. They might just be trying to get a reaction from you, okay? Like with the teens I interact with, it's just like adult or other student. It's like, do you really believe this? Like you're just saying this to draw me off sides. So just take a deep breath, okay? Take a deep breath before responding. Mm-hmm. Like it'll be okay. Like.
If they're getting their phone out, they're absolutely trying to get a reaction from you.
Yes.
Well, let me say too, parents are a little different because you are like in charge of raising this human being.
Yeah.
So let me say that. But like other roles, you do have an influence, but like it is not your job to police everything that they believe or to like lecture them on that. So, like, that's where, like you're saying, Caleb, like, active listening is key. Like, ask questions, keep them talking, but it's not necessarily your job to, like, sit there and be like, actually, here's where you're wrong, blah, blah, blah. Let me get out my PowerPoint presentation on why this opinion is better. And so, start with listening.
And I think, like, especially when dealing with teens, like, questions go so much further than trying to prove your own point. Because... Mm-hmm. They're probably not listening. Like I know, like even still as an adult, like a lot of times if I'm in a conflict with someone, I'm not listening. I'm just trying to think of what I'm saying next. Mm. Right. And so like, push back on like, hey, why did you say that? Or like, why, like, where did you get that from? Why do you believe that? Getting them to think out their own answer to what they believe, I promise will go further than you being like, here's why you're wrong.
Well, you just said something important to Caleb, which is like they're probably thinking of what they're going to say. But so how many times when I'm talking to a teenager and they're talking to me, am I not actually listening because I'm trying to think of how I can get them to see my side, what I'm going to say?
Yeah.
All of that stuff. So like knowing that too about yourself, if you're in discussions, especially maybe about topics that could be a little more controversial, like knowing like, hey, I need to set that aside for a second and like listen and be locked in on them. And I can think about what I'm going to say after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it needs to be said that especially if you're an adult talking to a teen, there is a very, 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 very small chance you're going to convince them to join your side and that you're right when they're a teenager. And it could be anything. When we could be talking about like, you know, I think Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest candy ever and they think Snickers. And like, you're not going to convince them like with facts and thought out questions and stuff. The thing about the stuff, and I think with religion especially, like this is where I see this, is that if your goal is for them to see the same way that you do, and you're showing them that by aggressive questioning and, you know, calling out their beliefs and their thoughts, all you're doing is pushing the goal further back, in my opinion. Because what needs to be happening is that you're showing that you respect what they're saying and you're showing them empathy, even if you are disagreeing with them. Yeah. Because what's going to happen is down the road, if me and Caleb are arguing about our favorite chocolate snacks, he's going to be like, man, like that conversation with Tobin, like he really was really into Reese's, but he also didn't, you know, jump on me about this. Maybe that's the side I need to be on and stuff like that. So like, it's just, if you're showing them that you can, that they can have a voice and have a, you know, an opinion, but also be different from them, I think that that in the long run goes a lot further than you trying to win a debate or win an argument with them, mm-hmm. especially online, especially.
Yes.
Yeah. So like, practice active listening, and then kind of even what you just said to him, like show respect and empathy. And I think like those two kind of go together. I think people know you're not listening to them. And like, even if you hear them out and be like, man, I hear you and I hear that side, it goes such a long way into a kind of helping de-escalate an intense conversation, because it's less like yelling at each other and more like, let's just have a conversation because I hear what you're saying and mm-hmm. here's what I'm saying. Like, I think it just kind of changes the environment of the conversation. And yeah, like, I don't think you're going to win anyone over by, no matter how mm-hmm. great your facts are, by yelling or just stating the facts. Like, it's a conversation and there's two sides, and show the other side the respect and empathy that, you know, they deserve as a human.
Well, I think too, when you are having a discussion where maybe you disagree about something, whether it's big or small, serious or not, so often you're actually more in line than you probably think. And so like trying to find the common ground, that doesn't mean that you have to agree. I think it's easy to say like, hey, I can see how you would feel that way. My husband loves to have these big existential conversations where I'm like, this just makes me sometimes want to beat my head against the wall. But so often we are very different, and we will like not argue, but come at it and be like, no, we disagree. And then when we like actually sit down and be like, okay, but what do you actually think about that? And explaining it and not taking such a hard stance, we'll actually realize like, no, we're actually very close in that. Just the way we were communicating it is very different.
Yeah.
Or how we would do it is different, but we want the same outcome. And so sometimes like trying to, that's where those questions come in mind. That's where actually listening and active listening, where you're like repeating back, here's what I'm hearing you say. Mm-hmm. Is that mm-hmm. correct? Like making sure you're clarifying that you might actually find some common ground. But I think most importantly, if you're an adult with a teenager in life, make sure you show up consistently and let them know your relationship is more important than agreeing on every issue or even being on the same page, mm-hmm. or maybe even understanding. Like maybe you're like, I just really don't understand this, but I still care about you. I'm still going to teach you and treat you fairly, all of that kind of stuff. But I do think y'all mentioned social media. And so before we kind of go further, especially right now, and especially at the cultural turning point, whatever mm-hmm. that we are at in our country, like, please be careful. I'll link it. We did an episode two on this, on maybe how to post appropriately on social media, didn't we? Like last year, maybe.
Yeah.
But know that you, if you're an adult, there are students who follow you and who can see your stuff, and just be aware of that as you're posting things, anything that you say online. And if they question you about it in person, you're like, man, I don't want to have that conversation in person, then maybe that's also not something that we should be starting online or posting opinions about online, if you wouldn't be willing to say it to the students in your life or people in your life in person.
Yeah.
But I do want to, as kind of a shift, something to think about, because sometimes I think we think, why can't this teenager just agree with me? Why can't they just do what I say? However, we do not want to raise teenagers who just agree with everything we say.
Yeah.
We don't. That's not the kind of adults that you want. We want them to ask questions. We want them to do research. We want them to form their own opinions. So this is very much a developmental thing that is healthy. It is normal. They should be questioning things. They should be pushing back on you. I saw something one time that was a good perspective too, that like, say, maybe I've mentioned this on the podcast, but I'm going to say it again anyways. If you are on a roller coaster and they put down the big seatbelt strap, what is the first thing you do probably? you check it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You push back on it. And sometimes I think the same is true for our teenagers of if they are in a healthy place and somewhere where they feel like they can have opinions, the first thing they're going to do sometimes is check that.
Yeah.
They're going to check that relationship. They're going to check that belief system. And you might have a teenager that you're like, we've been loving spaghetti at our house for forever. And now suddenly you have all these opinions about how you can't have gluten. Like, what is happening? Or I had friends in high school who decided they were going to go vegan and like were very hardcore about it out of nowhere. And some of that is like they're trying to find their place. They're trying to find their identity. And they're trying to check, like, are we still going to be good if I have a different opinion? And so kind of a perspective change of that is something that is good and healthy, but we need to make sure that we're helping them do that in an appropriate way at the same time.
I think especially whenever you get into like stuff that's driven, like that they're seeing on like social media and stuff like that, like you kind of have to remind yourself, and this is true for adults too, but like everything that we see is curated and not the full scope of what we're doing ever. And that's including like what we're digesting through social media, through internet, whatever it may be. Like it's not it wasn't an arguments thing, but my son had an example of this a few weeks ago of I let him get a Twitter account because he likes to follow like the, you know, NBA and stuff like that. And I said, as long as you're not posting anything, I don't care. You know, I'm going to be checking who you're following, that kind of thing. And he sent me a Twitter link the other day of just a fear mongering, like we're about to go to World War III thing. And it was like, and like, even if that's true, like he was scared about it. He sent it to me in the middle of the school day. And it's like, that's the kind of stuff that we have to remind ourselves is that what they are getting on their devices may not be the full true scope of what's actually happening. And that, and the same goes for adults too, of like, hey, before we're going to like dig our heels in and argue things, like one, you need to probably make sure you're having the full scope of what's going on. And two, like remind yourself, they might not have that. And also you may not be able to tell them that right now. You may have to come at a later date whenever they're at a non confrontational place as well. And so just remind yourself that. I think I see that a lot with drug conversations, like with weed and substances and stuff like that, about, you know, there is some truth to like our generation, you know, the generations before us were a little bit more hesitant and it was a lot scarier. And now it seems like with technology and science, things are shifting. And so the generations below me are thinking very differently on substances than we did, which is kind of funny because like, it's not funny, but the substances that they are more okay with are the stuff that the generation before us were not okay with. And the substances that they are not okay with are the ones that we abused for years, you know, with alcohol and drugs and cigarettes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so it's just, everything has their side. It's just a matter of like, what you don't want most importantly is to ever shut off a connection with a teenager that might need it later on. And like that, then that means that you may just not have to agree and you may have to like let some things go. Because eventually that teen's probably going to need you for something, and you can't have a block of, well, I can't talk to that person because he stood his ground on this thing and I don't feel comfortable with him or her and that kind of thing. So,
and I mean, it's probably even less just like, oh, I can't go to them because they believe that. But it's like, man, I can't go to this guy because of how he handled that situation, of how I felt attacked. And a student's never going to go to somebody who feels like they have to be on the defense around. And so like in your conversations, like, and that goes back to like showing up consistently, like, right. Of like making sure that they know, like you are always going to be there. But then like also putting that into perspective of if you're in those conversations, like, what matters more? What matters more? Mm-hmm. My relationship with this student and being able to be there and make sure that they know that I'm always going to be there, or halfway winning an argument. And I think too, like along with our perspective shift is to focus on understanding and not winning. And this was such like, I remember being a teenager and like half the time, like I'm in an argument, I don't even know if what I'm saying is what I believe, but I want to win.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm going to say anything to win that conversation or win that argument. And so, like, remember, the goal ultimately is to maintain the relationship and not to win. And so I find myself falling into that trap even as an adult, is like,
yeah,
evaluating myself of being like, what am I even, like, separate myself from this for a second and be like, what am I even saying? Like, is this a hill that I'm willing to die on? And then I think, like, it goes back to, like, having just a conversation. Even like with what Tobin said about, like, yes, the nougaty crunch of a Snickers is great. That doesn't take away from the fact that the peanut butter cup is a great candy too. You know, like, I think there's a lot of times you can both be arguing and both be right in your own way.
Yeah.
And if you're arguing instead of having a conversation, you're never going to realize that. And so just remember, ultimately, bottom line is the goal is to maintain the relationship, is not to win the argument.
So one thing that we see a lot in teen life groups is, as a facilitator, we get asked questions about, like, well, don't you do this, or don't you believe in this kind of thing?
Yeah.
And one way to kind of diffuse, I don't know if diffuse is the right word, but just to respectfully handle that, because, like, I don't ever want teens or adults to feel like they can't be who they are and be true to themselves.
Yeah.
But there's a way to do that without being combative. And, like, so if I ever get asked about, you know, my religious preference or things that we shouldn't necessarily be talking about in group, I'll preface it by saying, look, this is how I am, or this is how I was raised, or this is what I believe. But I also want to respect everybody around and what they're feeling and going through, what they believe. And if we want to have a deeper conversation about that, we can talk outside of group, you know, and that can be applied in any setting, really. Is like, hey, this is what I believe. And I'm not saying I'm right, you're right, I'm wrong, you're wrong, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But this is where I'm coming from. And that kind of gives you a stance of, one, it lets you still stay true to what you believe and what you think, but it also gives them a chance to know that, like, you may be on this side, but you're not necessarily against them, and that kind of works in their favor.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. When I think with that, like, it's okay to say, like, hey, let's just agree to disagree in a respectful way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, if you are having a conversation with a student at some point, like, there might reach a point if neither one of you are going to change your opinions, where it's not healthy anymore, it's not a good discussion, and you've both just dug your heels in, it's okay to be like, hey, I don't think this conversation is going anywhere anymore. Let's just agree to disagree. And when you do that, you're modeling for them. We can have really difficult conversations, and we can disagree, and we can walk away and still be friends, or we can walk away and still respect each other. And I'm still going to show up for your class.
Yeah.
I'm still going to show up as a leader and still respect you and have a good relationship with you. And that is really powerful that you get to show them that. So I think sometimes, instead of, like y'all are saying, getting so caught up in, like, lecturing or proving your point or trying to win, just being like, hey, like, we're going to be done with this conversation right now. If you want to, let's come back to it in a few days if you feel strongly about it, but not just always getting to the point where you both agree, or even if they might never say, I can see your point, but be the adult and be a bigger person, and you can kind of find some common ground with them.
Yeah.
Our kind of final tip or takeaway is creating a safe space. So making sure that teens do feel like they can express themselves without fear, rejection, criticism, all of that. And sometimes what that might mean too, especially in a school or group setting where you have multiple students around, is if a student starts bringing something up that's controversial, you might need to stop them and be like, hey, that's not a conversation that we're going to have right now.
Mm-hmm.
Can I talk to you after? Can I take you to coffee? Can we go get a Sonic drink? Can you show up to class a few minutes early and I'll bring you lunch? Or something like that, where you're not taking the whole group down this rabbit hole that doesn't need to happen, or a whole classroom that we don't need to get into this discussion because we have other things to do, but then creating a safe space in another way where they can share that.
And yeah,
avoiding them feel heard.
Avoiding mob mentality too, on both sides. Like, of, you don't need a bunch of people to join your side and then attack somebody, and vice versa. You don't need to be attacked by a bunch of teenagers at the same time. Like, that's not fun for anybody. And so, avoiding the group discussions for intense things, because, like, we also don't know what kind of trigger some of this stuff is for people. Like it can be whatever, like any conversation could be triggering for people that are going through specific hurts and stuff from these kind of discussions. So yeah.
All right. Well, we're also next time going to do an episode that kind of talks about where do teens get their information. So we kind of previewed that a little bit because they go hand in hand, but we'll talk more about like, where are they getting their information and how can we help them find accurate information about things that they care about. So subscribe on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts so that you don't miss that episode and future ones. And then please send us your questions. You can reach out on social media. You can email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo to submit any questions that you want us to discuss. And we'll see you next time.